On today's Into Your Head podcast number 709, Bandages versus Beards, How to Stab a Cartoon Character, Breaking Down in a Barber Shop, and lots more. This is a prelude to episode 709 of Into Your Head podcast. Hello. Episode 709 of Into Your Head podcast. Hello. Don't really have anything to say about it. It really speaks for itself. It speaks for itself in a way that only an audio talk format can. It speaks entirely from its own heart, albeit a heart of ones and zeros. Well, that's the thing about a heart made of ones and zeros. Unlike, it's the same as with television. When they switched over to digital television, we realised that the thing about digital television is that you either have a perfect signal coming through or none at all, and it's the same with a heart made out of ones and zeros as this podcast is, although I suppose it's not a heart really at all, it's just a bunch of ones and zeros. Well, it has a character to it, and because it's made of ones and zeros rather than the old fashioned wavelengths or waves, whatever you call them, that means it can only be completely perfect or not there at all. So if this podcast appears here today to you wherever you look for your podcast, that means it's perfect, and if it doesn't appear, then this is all irrelevant. So glad we all sorted it out. On with the show. I've always been a great believer in the dictum, ask not what your country can do for you, ask instead, do they have any low fat milk? Because there's only so many things a customer service agent in your local shop should be expected to help you with. It's not a general all purpose ask me anything thing. No matter how helpful they make purport to be, they can only do so much for you. Even at an information desk, no matter how unlimited they may purport to be, they can't answer everything. You can't go up to an information desk and say, hello, how far is Mars from Earth? Because for one thing, the distance between Mars and Earth varies depending on the positions of the planets at any time of the year. For another thing, unless it's an information desk at some science education exhibition, they're probably not going to be able to help you with that. Although, any customer service agent with a bit of initiative and who has access to the internet in their store, which they probably don't, they're probably not trusted with that, but maybe they'll take out their smartphone and look it up for you if they wanted to. If they were feeling extra helpful and say, hang on a minute, and they'll do a Google for that. I'll Google Earth, Mars, distance between, and then I'll press search, and I'll search the whole worldwide internet for information, because that's what's about today. Information. Information is no longer at a premium in today's world. You go up to someone and say, I've got loads of information in here. I'm selling a packet of encyclopedias. Do you want them? You probably do. Well, you can't have them unless you pay me. But I'll throw as a special treat, I'll throw in an extra encyclopedia. If you buy the letters A through Z, you can have my new extension to this set that covers the numbers 1 through 12. So you get A through Z and 1 through 12. And then if you pay a bit more, we'll give you 1 through 24. The numbers 1 through 24. The first volume covers everything starting with 1, everything starting with 2, and about half of the stuff that starts with 3. And then the second volume starts where that left off. Same as with the alphabetical ones. But apart from that, no. It's like getting information that's not getting information like that out of a out of a freaking information bureau is like getting blowed out of a stone, unless there's an actor dressed up as a stone, in which case not really a stone, it's a just like in Walt Disney. If you went up to Mickey Mouse in Disneyland and stabbed him, he'd say, oh, no blood's going to come out of this, it's just a cartoon character. I'm afraid you get a bit of a shock then. Well, not as much of a shock as the cartoon character, although maybe about the same, a different type of shock. His shock would be, oh, I seem to be bleeding, I think I'm being stabbed. And your shock would be, oh, this cartoon character is bleeding, surely that's physically impossible, or is it some sort of new animation paper that's made out of, I don't know, the living skin of some fish or something, I don't know. He probably wouldn't think too much about it then, he'd be too busy figuring out what to do about the fact that he just stabbed somebody. I can hear your brain churning right now. Well, I would be able to if it was happening right now. Of course it's not. I'm not there in Disneyland with you. But if all that was happening right now, I'd be able to hear your brain churning in these big headphones I'm wearing. You can hear all the noises in these headphones here. You can hear a cat meow out in the landing. You can't hear us because we make adjustments accordingly. We turn this thing up and we turn this thing down. And we do lots of engineering. But no. But that's a fucking ridiculous thing to say. No matter how true it is, it's of no interest here. It doesn't add anything to the proceedings. So let's leave it at that. Let's leave it at cats during and just go put a full stop or a period, whatever you foreigners call. Do you foreigners call a full stop a period, or do you call a period a full stop? I don't know. Let's just call it a dot. A full stop, period, dot. Draw things to an end. A big dot. The whole point of it being a dot is that you don't have to call it everything else. If I write down the letter E, I don't say, oh, I don't put a note beside it in brackets saying, this is the letter E. I do not. That would defeat the purpose of it being a letter. It's the whole freaking point. So if I put a dot, you don't say, is that a full point? Or is it a full stop, rather? Or is it a dot? Or is it a freaking period? What is it? I don't know what it is. You look at it to see what it is. It is in itself its own title. So give it a fucking break. Give the world a break. Monkey nuts, that's what they call them. They call them big, steaming, shit-eating, piss-piling, paper-discovering. I've just discovered some paper here. Oh, it's probably well aware of it already. Subconscious here. It's not surprising to find a sheet of paper on top of my printer, I suppose. In the long scheme of things. It's a bit crinkled, though. Actually, that would explain even more why it's on top of the printer. I probably said, this is a substandard... Well, it's a normal standard. Well, actually, no, it is substandard paper. It's generic supermarket brand paper. But it's a perfectly decent generic paper. But it's also not in perfect condition. It's been crinkled. It's been crinkled and not in a good way. Not like crinkle cut crisps. No. In a bad way. In a way that if you put this into the printer, it would jam up and your printer itself could become crinkled or banjaxed. It's all very well losing the use of this sheet of paper, but if it causes it to wreck the printer, then it's just not worth it at all. So no, we'll use this for good old fashioned handwriting at some point. If I need to handwrite anything ever again, that sheet of paper is there and available to me. So let's not get bogged down in the fact that it's not being used for its intended purpose. No, it's perfectly normal to have a few sheets of paper that just don't make the cut. They don't make the cut. Well, let's see if I got scissors here. This is a nail scissors. This is for cutting nail. This is a scissors. Here we are in the year 2013, world where we've got doctors that we train for 8 years before we even let them near a patient. And yet I can walk into my local supermarket and buy a scissors that's designed specifically to cut pieces off my body. Isn't that amazing? one standard of medicine for one part of the body, quite another for another. I'm allowed to cut my own hair as well. You're allowed to cut bits of yourself off and go around trying to spend an hour entertaining yourself, chopping bits of yourself off or having someone else do it for you. And you don't get the medical board down on you writing. You don't say, oh, we're going to write you off now. You're no longer on the board of people who are considered qualified to cut bits off their own body. No, there's no regulation at all for that. But I can tell you, if you went into the barber shop and paid for a shave and the fella accidentally cut you, cut a tiny little slit in your face and a tiny droplet of blood came out, you'd say he's a disgrace. You'd say he's an absolute fucking disgrace. Those fellas in the old days, they were considered part doctor. That's why they have the stripey thing with the red and white thing outside traditional barber shops. You'd go into them if you wanted a bit of medical attention, such as there was in those days. There wasn't much in the form of medicine to practice, so anyone could just do it from their hair cutting shop. Where was I with that? I don't know. If you ought to learn more, go and watch Sweeney Todd, or is it the other one? The one with the hair cutter who kills people. And then that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know about how I get my hair cut at home.
Hello, this is J. Edgar Casey. Whenever I am listening to fine podcasts, I tune into the Into Your Head program because it's very clean.
Once upon a time, there was a hair cutting man, a man who cut hair on a regular basis. If you cut hair once in the past, you still say he cut hair. As I say, there's a problem with the English language there. You say he cut hair, you could mean he cut hair once 3 years ago, or he cut hair all day, every day for his entire career. Maybe his career only lasted one day, and that was yesterday, and you only ever cut one person's hair. In which case that complicates it even further. I'm going to break the rules of grammar and I'm going to say he cut it hair. So when I say he cut it hair, it means the same as he cut hair, really. It doesn't really help here. It means he could have either cut it hair for his entire career or he cut hair once. Well, I can, as the storyteller myself, I can clarify that without, despite the restrictions of the English grammar world, I can clarify it by saying he cut hair every day of his career. Now, his career did end very quickly because, for one thing, he realised this is surgery. He was sitting there one day looking in the mirror in front of him at the man in front of him and saying, what am I doing here? I spent 6 months in some night school learning how to do this, and now I'm allowed to bring a sharp knife down on someone's head and chop bits off it with no one checking in on me. There's no head surgeon coming in and saying, how's everything going here? What are you going to use today? How are you going to do this? And then giving it the okay. I don't even have to put in any paperwork at the end of this operation. He had a crisis of confidence, basically, which I suppose is good. And if a person has, there's such a thing as it being a good thing for someone to have a crisis of confidence. It means they're not going to do anything stupid. Although in this case he did do something stupid. He burnt down his barber shop with all the people in it. He burnt them to a crisp, and all the people died. Well, except him. He managed to escape because he knew what was coming. He could see his own hands taking out the match and striking it against the scrapey bit on the matchbox, and then he could see himself putting the flame up against the counter right in front of a customer who happened to be asleep, and you could see the flames rising and rising and rising and spreading and going all over the place. And then he said, Christ, this is on fire, which I suppose is to be expected because I set it on fire. So he ran out of the shop, he ran out onto the street, and he called the fire brigade. He said, hello, is this the fire brigade? And the fire brigade said yes, and he says, are you licensed to perform surgery imagery on houses or buildings. And the fireman says, I'm not sure what you mean. And he spent the next 10 minutes trying to explain himself how he was having a crisis of confidence. And he thought he has no business. He explained that he thought he has no business cutting bits of people's hair off when he's not a doctor or anything. And he was trying to ask the fire brigade whether they have any qualifications for performing surgery on houses and buildings that are on fire and may have built alive people in them. And while he was doing that, everyone died. Just goes to show, I just don't know what it goes to show. There must be some moral to all that. Assuming for a moment that it's all true, which it isn't. That's the problem there with these little fables. You make them up and then you expect people to apply a meaning to them. And you say, oh, this is some great fantastic lesson to be learned at the end of this fable. But then you can say that to an 8-year-old and they'll believe it. You'll say, oh, here's the following lesson can be learned from this story. But no, you tell that to an adult and they just go, now correct me if I'm wrong, but that's a load of bollocks, isn't it? And you'll have to say, yes, it is. Yes, it is. I made it up. It's a fictional story. Well, it's a, let's not go down that route again, but you know, I'm going to say, regular listeners will know that I'm going to say, it's a fictional story, but the story exists. The story is real because I made it, but it's about the basis of it is fiction. As fictional as an affliction that causes you to burn down. Although there are afflictions like that, I'm sure. If you asked any psychiatrist and say, is there an affliction that might cause you to suddenly stop in the middle of cutting someone's hair and have a crisis of confidence and then burn the place down? They'd say, well, I haven't heard very many cases of that, but I'm sure it's possible, yes. And you'll say, when you say you haven't heard many, how many do you think you've heard? And they'll say, approximately zero. But that's a rough estimate. I don't want to be claiming to be giving out exact figures or have exact figures to hand. So just take that as a rough estimate. It's around about zero, roughly zero, give or take whatever. Give or take anything. Give or take is a good thing. Give or take. Although not in a barbershop. A barbershop is a business. Although I suppose if you give a tip, that's giving. Well, that's considered part of the payment. We don't really tip barbershops over here. Well, I'm not sure. I don't really go to them very often. Well, that's beside the point. That's beside the point. The point is over there beside the light switch. When I turn over to look at it, while I point at it, the sound probably sounds like it's meter. Does that make it? I don't know. If I nod my head to the left and then put her 90 degrees to the right and then go up and look at the ceiling like this, does it sound any different to you? I don't know. Don't really put that much thought into the stereophonics of all this, I must say.
Into your head.
Support the Podcastual Arts at no cost to you. Just click through the Amazon link at intoyourhead.com whenever you go shopping for anything, even if you use Amazon UK or Canada. We'll take your weird foreign money here. We're not proud. Just visit intoyourhead.com and click on the appropriate Amazon banner.
Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener. Email Neil at studio@intoyourhead.com.
You are listening to Into Your Head, a listener-supported podcast. Please visit intoyourhead.com/tipjar.
Encyclopedia salespersons walk into a bar. One of the encyclopedia salespersons goes straight up to the bar counter and says, hello, I see you've got a lot of shelves behind you, full of a lot of different and interesting bottles of beverages, but absolutely no books. You've no information stand here. You've no reference material for your customers should they ever be having a debate over a pint of Guinness about some obscure point about the world and they want to look Walker Hope, you know, books here. Do you want to buy some books? I'm selling encyclopedias here. I'm an encyclopedia salesperson. And the barman says, are you a salesman or a saleswoman? And the encyclopedia salesperson says, well, that's one of those facts that you won't be able to find out unless you have the information at your fingertips. It's facts like that that you suddenly get a desire to know out of the blue that you'll be able to look up if you buy my set of encyclopedia, or is it encyclopedia or encyclopedias? I'm not sure, but you can be damn sure that Christ has held that the answer to that is also in these books here. And the barman says, that seems to be a hell of a lot of stuff to carry around with you. Would you not just bring one book as a sample or something, or maybe some sort of a little cardboard display? And the encyclopedia salesperson says, no, I'm a proper sales, a good old-fashioned encyclopedia salesperson, and I bring the entire product with me, because if you're going to invest into something, and it's quite an investment, I can tell you. And the barman interrupts and says, how many of these have you sold in the past 10 years as a matter of interest? And the encyclopedia salesperson says, well, these ones I have here, obviously I've never sold them at all, I wouldn't still have them. Once I sell them, I pass ownership and possession of them over to the person who buys them. So obviously the ones I have here I've never sold at all. And the barman says, you know damn well what I mean. And the encyclopedia salesperson bursts into tears, tears of joy, strangely enough, tears of joy at having someone finally recognize his plight. And the barman says, what the fucking hell are you crying about? And then the encyclopedia salesperson stops crying. He says, oh, I was crying tears of joy because I mistakenly thought that someone could finally recognise my plight. But now I realise that you haven't. So maybe I'll burst into tears of sadness now. Although if I pre-announce it, I can't really call it bursting into tears of sadness. And the barman says, that's true. Did you write these books yourself? And the encyclopedia salesperson says, no, I'm more of an encyclopedia salesperson than an encyclopedia content writer and collector. And the barman says, well, maybe you should branch out a bit more. It doesn't seem to be any money being encyclopedia salesperson anymore. Maybe you'd be better off being an encyclopedia writer and leaving the sales to, well, maybe not leaving the sales to anyone at all. Just write things for the pure value of them rather than there's more to life than selling things, you know. You could just write them just to contribute something to the world. Maybe put them up on the internet and have a tip jar where people can appreciate them if they so feel like it. And the encyclopedia salesperson says, that's a bit unrealistic if you don't mind me saying so. And the barman says, I don't mind you saying that at all. You can say whatever you want. I was free. We have free speech in this country, especially in my bar. It's free speech in my bar. You can come in here and say whatever you want. I just expect to have to deal with the consequences of what you say. For example, if you come in here and come up to me and say, barman, you're a cunt, expect to get punched in the face. Or if you say, barman, throw me some punch. Make me up a jug of punch and then throw that in my face. Not the glass itself, just throw the contents. Hold on to the handle of the jug. Hold on, make damn sure to hold on to the handle of the jug and then pour the punch in my face. Just like in an old-fashioned bar in medieval. When you go to one of those medieval shows that they put on for tourists in some places, they always give you a big jug of punch. There, you can drink it away to your heart's content. Makes you piss a lot. It's a bit like wine in that regard. Makes you piss a lot. Makes you drunk and merry in a good old-fashioned medieval way. And then the next day you go out and fight the battle of something or other. Battle of Nevermore. Was that a thing? I don't know. It was a Queen song from one of their debut albums. Well, either their debut album or their second album. I suppose the second one could still be called one of their debut albums. albums, because those two were before the time when they got big, when they made it, so to speak. It's all about making it nowadays. You have to make it before you can do anything. You have to go on the American X Factor or something and say, hello, I haven't got a note in my head yet, but I understand I have to become famous first. I have to make it. I like to do. That's why they say, they used to say, on the Coca-Cola ads, they used to say, this is it, we've made it, come and get it, and we'll sell it for you for a market price, and we'll make a bit of money out of it, and we'll save you the trouble of making it. But in fairness, they're referring to a completely different thing than what I'm talking about here. Anyway, no tanks, don't need any encyclopedias, neither want them or need them, or even if I did need them, I wouldn't recognise my need. Obviously here, or I haven't. If I do need them, I certainly haven't recognised such a need, so you're probably not going to have much luck here unless you can convince me otherwise, but I don't think that's going to happen to you. And the encyclopedia salesperson says, oh, funnier things have happened, and the barman says, oh, I agree, definitely a lot funnier things than this have happened, especially on this fucking podcast. I think he's had too much coffee or something. I don't know. And the encyclopedia salesperson says, did I speak last or did you? And the barman says, no idea, lost complete fucking track of it altogether. And the encyclopedia salesperson says, is your sound a bit off too? And the barman says, oh, that wouldn't be my responsibility. Any sound I make comes straight out of my vocal cords, not like I can control them with anything. I can't turn a knob on the side of my neck. So no point asking me to do anything about that. And the encyclopedia salesperson says, don't think much of this segment, do you? And the barman says, I think we've just established that. And the encyclopedia salesperson says, I think I agree. And the barman says, you think you agree? Well, make up your mind, or are you never going to make up your mind? Because if that's the case, then as you're leaving it open for it to be possible that you either agree or don't agree, in which case we've achieved nothing here. And the encyclopedia salesperson says, I think we already established that we've achieved nothing here. And the barman says, that's true, but that's a slightly different issue. And the encyclopedia salesperson says, Christ. And then Christ walks into the bar. Well, because according to some of the witnesses anyway, because beliefs in this area differ widely, and we're all entitled to our beliefs, I can tell you. But a number of the witnesses in the bar at the time claimed that the next thing that happened was that Christ walked into the bar, and everyone turned around. They were turned around and saw him coming in because they saw the barman exclaimed Christ, and he was looking towards the door at the time. Or was it the encyclopedia salesman who said Christ? I can't remember because I recorded that half an hour ago. Anyway, one or other of them exclaimed Christ while looking at one or other of the doors or appearing to, and everyone looked around, and a man appeared at the door wearing a beard. He had put on his beard for that night. He was probably looking for a good night out, and he decided, I'll put on my beard tonight, make me more just like when the invisible man puts on some clothes so people can see, puts a scarf, wrap some bandages around his face so you can see the shape of his face. Jesus or whoever it was decided to put on a beard that night to make his face more visible. We should all do that. If you're clean shaven, your face is pretty much invisible to the naked eye. I know you can make it out if you look close enough, but no, if you put some well-placed hair and glasses, maybe a hat on top, then that outlines the shape of your face just the way the invisible man does with his bandages, although he goes a bit overkill. He wraps them right round his head. He goes bandage, 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 round and round and round and round my head. There's frigging hospitals that can't afford enough bandages, never mind faces for face transplants, and he's going using up a whole roll every night. He presumably has to change it every time he sweats. He has to have a shower and get a whole new set of bandages. He doesn't even have a fucking injury. is no welfare so being just go throwing away bandages like there's no tomorrow. That's what happens to people who don't have a face. They lose the run of themselves. They think, I don't have a face to present to the world here, so nobody's watching me, so I can do whatever I want. That's another moral tale for you. Was there an invisible man on the television? I can't remember. I think he was. Wouldn't make much of a television program if you ask me, but I seem to remember in the 1980s there being a series about the invisible man on the television, or was it on the radio? I don't know. Should have been on the... Maybe they made a radio version, or they made a television version, or both. I don't know. The BBC likes to do that a lot. They make radio comedies, and then they turn them into TV, and you just say, they don't just point the camera at the radio. No, they wouldn't get away with that when there's people having to pay TV license fees for this sort of thing over there. They remake the whole radio program, except with stuff. They have to put stuff for there for them to film. You can't be just standing there in front of a microphone with a couple of seashells banging together to make the noises of the sea. No, you have to get the real sea. They usually go to the sea, or else they bring the sea to what they call a soundstage, and you can have an artificial sea if you want. Why would you do that when we have the real thing everywhere? There's plenty of seas. There's seas everywhere, not here. I live closer to the Midlands than I ever had in my life. This is the furthest away in my life that I've ever been from the sea. Oh, ever lived from the sea. I've lived here for several years now. Can't remember what the sea looks like. I presume it's water. I think if I remember rightly, there's water involved. And there's waves, but they come from the moon. The waves come down from the moon every night, and they pull the tides forward and back and forward and back and forward and back. And then you can do the same with a rowing boat. You bring the oars forward and back, forward and back, forward and back, in line with the waves and the tides and the moon. I don't know how you do something like that anyway. I was never much of a seafarer, to be perfectly honest. Not that that's a crime that I have to own up to and be honest about. I'm not a seafarer, nor am I an astronaut. I'm not an architect either, not an accountant, although I did train for a while as one, just as one, not as two. I trained as more than one accountant, because I studied financial accounting and management accounting, which is the different type, and auditing. So that's, I trained as at least three accountants. If by training you mean sitting in a lecture, falling asleep, that's what's considered training in the modern world of studentry. It wasn't all that modern. It was the early 1990s to the late 1990s. Where am I going now with this? What was I on? I was on a story about... I don't know. Show's pretty much over. Oh yes, the invisible man on the television. He was on the television, invisible man. It was great. It was absolutely fantastic. If you were 8 years old, you said, oh, there's the invisible man, and someone would say, where? And you'd say, oh, I thought I saw him just there now. And they'd say, you can't see him, he's invisible. You're imagining it. You're imagining television programs now. And then someone else will say, well, no, it definitely says here in the TV list things that the invisible man is on this channel at this time, although I have to admit I can't see anything either. There does seem to be a program on. There he is now. He's putting on his bandages now. And someone else will say, why doesn't he wear invisible bandages? And then you spend the next half hour explaining to them why they didn't, and then you've missed the whole plot. And in those days, I can tell you, you couldn't just record or do live pause and rewind it. Oh no, you were, once you missed a bit of the plot, that was it. That television program was of no use to you now until it ran its course. So for the next 8 weeks that series was on, we just had to turn off the television for that hour. And if it came back for another season next year as well, that for your whole Wednesday night was a write-off. Anyway, good morning.
You've been listening to Neil tell you stories about cats, probably. Neil talks a lot about cats. Send your topic suggestions to studio@interyourhead.com.
Into your head.